This time, he could feel a tremor in the earth as his pursuer closed the gap between them. Jesus, if he didn't shake these nightmares soon...
What? No way. No fucking way!
The tremor had to be a muscle spasm in his legs that made him feel as if a giant was approaching, almost close enough to burst upon the camp, with the vibrations registering through Hopper's naked feet.
Shit!
Hopper vaulted off his cot. He found himself snared in the mesh of the mosquito netting.
Shit! Oh!
He ripped it down and struggled free.
What the hell's going on?
Outside the tent, Hopper stumbled into pandemonium. The natives were evacuating, running every which way, two of them stampeding through the fire and out the other side without a yelp of pain to mark their passing.
Holy shit! Sparks! Aikens!
Stop running, you little bastards!
He located Sparks standing near his own tent, dressed in boxer shorts and crew socks, with the rifle at his shoulder, pointing skyward at an angle close to 45 degrees.
What's he shooting at? And where the hell's Eakins?
It had sounded like his scream, if Hopper had to guess. But what?
Oh my God!
He saw it then. The hulking shadow figure from his nightmare, striding forward, beckoned by the firelight, swiveling its head to scan the camp. A ragdoll figure was suspended from its gnashing jaws, blood streaming down across the lips and chin. The flaccid doll wore khaki pants, a matching shirt, all stained with crimson.
Aikens!
You son of a bitch!
Sparks cranked off another shot, to no effect. The walking nightmare turned in his direction, shook its head, and spit the bloody ragdoll out. Sparks had to jump aside, the body bouncing once before it wound up in a twisted, boneless heap. Sparks was about to fire again, but he never got the chance. Ducking low, like a giant chicken pecking corn, the demon beast found him with its flashing teeth. It took a heartbeat for the scream to register, another beat for Hopper to discover it was coming out of him before he clapped both hands across his mouth. Too late. The shambling nightmare suddenly appeared to hop, the motion almost bird-like.
Oh, Jesus, run!
Hopper ran. There was no conscious planning, no time left for that. A part of Hopper's mind knew he was barefoot, fleeing in his underwear. But there was nothing he could do about it. If he stopped to grab his clothes, much less put them on, he would be caught inside the tent, joined Sparks and Eakins as a tasty midnight snack. The clearing wasn't large. A dozen strides brought Hopper to the tree line, and he kept on going, heedless of the rocks and thorns that gouged his feet, ignoring the potential threat of serpents. He stumbled in the darkness, threw both hands out in a desperate bid to catch himself, and felt a jagged branch sink deep into his palm. Blood marked the spot as Hopper freed himself, the sharp pain banishing all hope that he was still asleep. Was he insane? Had fever and fatigue snapped his connection to reality? What if he stood his ground and waited for the monster where he was? Not a chance. He ran as if his life depended on it, lost, surrendering to panic. Part of Hopper's mind was still coherent though, and it was telling him that he'd been mistaken in his dreams. He thought about the river, which lay somewhere to the north of camp. If he could only get his bearings, make it that far in the dark, a mile or two at most, he still might have a chance. It worked with bloodhounds in the movies. Water threw them off the scent of their intended prey and gave the hapless fugitive a break. If nothing else, the river might be deep enough to slow his adversary down, perhaps dissuade the demon altogether. His lungs were burning, and a rush of dizziness came close to overwhelming him as he stumbled to a halt. He braced himself against a tree trunk, leaving a bloody palm print as a signature, bent double to reduce the stabbing pain from stitches in his side. His feet were torn and bleeding. Hopper felt as if he were standing on a bed of razor blades. Silence. Had he done it? Was he safe? It seemed impossible. But how could anything that large move silently?
Ah! Ah!
He felt the strike, a stirring in the air above his head, before the gaping jaws descended. Hopper threw himself aside, rolled over twice, and vaulted to his feet. It was impossible for him to choose a direction. There was only life and death to think of as he turned and sprinted through the trees. Behind him, the predator came on, its nostrils flaring at the scent of blood and warm, wet flesh. It recognized no law but hunger, no imperative except to feed. The forest swallowed Hopper alive.